This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. All is not well in Melaka after four lawmakers withdrew their support for the Perikatan and Barisan government this week, led by former Chief Minister and UMNO man, or former UMNO man, Datuk Sri Idris Harun. So the Melaka Assembly has 28 seats and the Perikatan Barisan coalition previously held 17 seats. But following this withdrawal, Pakatan Harapan would have a simple majority of 15 seats if they ally with these four assemblymen that withdrew.
But instead of allowing the side with majority to form a government, the State Assembly was dissolved by State Government Tun Muhammad Ali Rustam, and now an election must be held within 60 days. Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob has assured that strict COVID-19 SOPs will be in place, but many people aren't convinced following the disastrous Sabah state polls last year, which saw a spike in COVID cases post-election.
Senior Minister Hishamuddin Hussein has come out to say that the government will seek the view of experts before deciding if state elections should go on. And of course, the experts in question are the National Security Council, the Election Commission and the Ministry of Health.
So we're all watching to see what happens in Melaka, yeah? So for an idea of what could unfold, we're speaking to Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, research fellow at the Ilham Centre and a frequent political commentator on BFM. Thanks for joining us, Hamidin. It's always good to have you. Was the dissolution of the State Assembly necessary, given that one side had the majority to form the government?
Thank you, Zana. Morning to you guys. I hope it's all well in BFM today, not as in Melaka. I think it was a very hasty decision made by Tun Muhammad Ali Rustam, actually. In fact, many people are not only questioned, but I think going to challenge his decisions. Not only he didn't act professionally and fairly to majority to the side that have the majority, PH and the four, but above all, I think he didn't have a discussion with most of the members of the Dewan Undangan Negeri, the State Assembly. First, I think he should establish what's happened and also to make sure that is the government really losing the confidence of the members of the Dewan. So with that, I think he acted poorly and hastily in dissolving the Dewan Undangan Negeri, and I think now Melaka people have to pay the price for that.
Well, you know, people are calling for Putrajaya to then enact an emergency in Melaka so the elections can't be called. Do you think that's an undemocratic move or necessary to avoid a repeat of the Sabah polls then?
I think I think it's better for us not to have an election at this particular moment, basically because of the COVID-19. And if we learn from what happened in Sabah, I don't see any improvement or any suggestion that SPR managed to provide with new SOP or new measure to make sure that it's going to be a safe election for people in Melaka. And I think we are at a stage now where people are still cautious, economically and also in terms of their daily life. So with that, in my point of view, I'm in support of any move to make sure that there is no state election in Melaka.
And Prof, even if elections do go on, we don't know if the election commission is ready. If they aren't, will elections be delayed and for how long?
I think legally it's only can be held within 16 days after the dissolvement of the Dewan Undangan Negeri. So within that. But as you are right, the question is SPR ready to that to have? I think if you look, I think it's raised, PRN in Melaka will raise a lot of other questions. For example, if it held in Melaka, why can't it held in Sarawak, for example? And why there is another election in Batu Sapi, other part in Sabah, in Greek, for example? So all these kind of raise a lot more questions towards the ability of the SPR to conduct a safe election during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And turning our spotlight to what's going on in UMNO, and I feel like this latest debacle clearly shows the internal fissures within UMNO. I mean, what do you think is happening behind the scenes that Idris Harun actually went ahead with this, shall I say, Langkah Melaka in inverted commas?
I think if you look at what's happened, I think LBFM before, I mentioned when you asked me about the stability of the MOU and fighting of within UMNO. And what happened in Melaka is very much a combination and, in my point of view, very much give a picture what is happening in UMNO. In UMNO, basically, there is a big struggle, not only in Melaka, but also in the national level, about the leadership of UMNO. What happened in Melaka is very similar to what is happening in federal level, where the head of the government is not the head of the party. And well, we have two also in Kuala Lumpur, in Putrajaya now. So what's happened, in my point of view, is very much is consolidating and distribution of power that's happening in UMNO, struggling to make sure that everything is going well for them to hold power to leading to UMNO election by the end of 2022.
Now, Doc, can we give you a perspective on Pakatan Harapan? Because although they had voiced its reluctance for both a snap state election and a localized emergency, but they actually have stopped short of providing a solution. So what do you think they're really hoping for?
I think even as far as we know, even within some section of Pakatan Harapan also are not keen to work with the Fab Four of Melaka move. Some of them are very much questioned the integrity of the four for them to join. But at the same time, in my point of view, the advantage for Pakatan Harapan, as mentioned by Zazana just now, the whole thing is not started by the Pakatan, but it's very much the internal conflict of UMNO. So with that, in my point of view, basically where they managed to kind of tap on their own back and saying that, okay, they will accept the four and try to form the government. Obviously, in my point of view, Pakatan Harapan is clearly the challenge for them is who's going to lead as a chief of Melaka, state of Melaka. If they win the next election,
how do you think this might affect PH's reputation, especially after Idris Harun sought support from Pakatan to make him the next chief minister?
Yeah, this is I think why in my point of view many are very much skeptical about that, meaning show that how desperate PH was to be in power. But in my, I believe that PH also have their own formula to make sure that they are in advantage if the four will join them to form the majority. I'm in favour of the CM should come from the PH because they are the majority side. So with that in my point of view, it's very interesting to see the dynamic of the negotiation between the four and the PH.
And Hamidin, what does the state of play in Melaka show about how much control, I guess, federal political parties have over state politics? You know, are we going to see different dynamics play out with federal versus state moving forward in all the different states, do you think?
Very interesting question. I think this is where when people talk about stability and this is fire when they're signing the MOU, I caution them when I mentioned that this is very much a heated bargaining at a national level. At the state level, I think the dynamic is different. And this is what happened in Melaka. It's not only that. I think what worrying, especially in UMNO, there is so much no central power in UMNO now. Like everybody is working for their own faction and no central power, meaning even imagine Ismail Sabri, who is the prime minister, is very quiet on what happened in Melaka. Because why? Because it's seen as a party matter. So when it comes to the party matter, you can see that Zahid Hamidi made a lot more statement in that regard. This is what happened in Melaka. When people see the real rulers, the real CM was Rauf, and this is what made the four are not happy when they have to refer to him. CM have to refer to him to make many important decisions in regard to the state. So this is where, in my point of view, when you don't have the chief of government is not the chief of the party. So you see the coalition between the state and administration and party interest. So this is what happened in Melaka. And it is what's happening also in federal level.
Hamidin, thanks so much for the chat this morning. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, research fellow at the Ilham Center, giving us the lay of the land of what's going on in Melaka and what's causing really all this chaos at the moment.
It's so fascinating because we've seen newspaper headlines, you know, for two consecutive days, Melaka remains top of the page. You know, we've seen changes of state governments before, but never of this level of intensity in our federal newspapers before, simply because people really just don't want a repeat of Sabah.
You know, the political situation in Melaka just appears to be a microcosm of what's all wrong with Malaysia.
So.
It's just the, and people have to ask themselves, what's at stake here? Because, you know, if you're a real hardworking politician, the job itself, the job description is not appealing. It's not attractive. It's a very hard and difficult job, right? So you've got to ask yourself, why this struggle to get into power and stay in power? Right?
That's right.
No need to say anymore, right?
It's a very interesting point also Dr. Hamidin said about the separation between political power and administrative power. And there seems to be that disconnect happening here in Malacca.
Mm.
Whereas ideally, if you should make for some stability, they have to be connected.
Mm.
But that has seemed not to happen in Malacca
at
all.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.